1200.
And again, another chance off that rebound for Ryan Wright for Ottawa to win it with a two or a three.
They need some composure on this play here. They don't need to do anything fancy. Just play good basketball as they've been doing.
Here's Kadre Gray into the lane. Layup is good, and Kadre Gray calls game. It's 82-69. Ottawa wins it, and the Blackjacks are headed to the postseason as they clinch a playoff berth along with Fraser Valley.
TSN 1200.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. 9:10 here on a Tuesday morning. There was the call here on TSN 1200 last night. AJ, Jackie Beck with it as the Blackjacks score a big win. Nice comeback. They were down 11-0 to start the game, but came back to beat Saskatchewan. And as you heard them mention, into the playoffs with a 4-7 record. Still three games to go in the regular season, and then it's on to the playoffs. The way the playoff works, it works in the CEBL is 1 and 2 get a bye, then 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5, one game. Two winners of those games move on to the semifinals, and of course, two winners of that move on to the final. See the way that works? I broke it down for you like nobody's business. All right, we got lots of basketball to get to because we've got our women at the Olympics, our women's team, that a lot of people think has a very good chance at getting a medal. Lost its first game to Serbia a couple of days ago. So, a lot of pressure for them to bounce back. And the U.S. lost for the first time in men's Olympic basketball since 2004. 25-game win streak came to an end as they lost to France on Sunday. So what does that all mean? Part of the coverage on CBC's Olympic coverage is Blackjacks general manager Javon Shepherd, who joins us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline this morning. How are you doing this morning, Javon?
What's going on?
What's going on with you? You're wearing a million different hats. How do you keep it all straight?
Well, one thing, my nights have turned to days and my days have turned to nights. So we're all over the place.
Absolutely. Yeah, that first Canadian women's Olympic basketball game started at 4:20 in the morning. So anyway, I want to get to the Olympic stuff with you in just a second, but I want to talk about your team first and foremost, the Blackjacks, that clinched a playoff spot last night with a win. So 4-7. You know what? You took over the role as general manager of the team. You kind of put together, it's got a lot of new faces as you assess things now, and we're 11 games into a 14-game season. What's your overall thoughts on your basketball team?
I think when I look at the group, you know, I'm excited about them still, of what we've accomplished, because it can't be lost on us the fact that, like you mentioned, it's a completely new staff, front office, a completely new team, and some of these teams that most of these teams that we're playing have some continuity, have some rollover from seasons before. So with that being said, I don't think our record really reflects our team, but I'm impressed at the resiliency of this group, and the fact that, you know, we've clinched playoffs is something that we can hang our hats on and celebrate in the moment, because it means something, right? I think Dominique Archie mentioned yesterday that this is a mid-level goal for us. You know, our goal is to be standing in Edmonton and standing as champions. But for the time being, we definitely have to appreciate where we are and just continue working, because there was so many changes, and we're going up. That continuity, that chemistry, that cohesiveness counts, you know, for an additional 10 points that we're missing right in this season here.
Yeah, I should mention, by the way, Nick Ward, who is your leading point getter, leading rebounder, missed last night's game. He injured his foot in the warm-up, so he didn't even play in the game last night. With three games left to go in the regular season, and then, as we mentioned, it's kind of one and done. You need three wins to win a title. Like, do you have enough time, in your opinion, to kind of get the cohesiveness you talk about and have this team go on some kind of run?
Well, playoffs is a different season altogether. Nothing that happened previously matters. It's one game, like you said, do or die. That boils down to who wants it more, who's going to will themselves to victory more. It's not going to be X's and O's. It's not going to be anything or tactics, because at that point, everybody has put in place their systems and in their fundamental foundational pieces. So it's just going to come down to will and desire at that point. I think with our group and what we've seen, the progress we've seen, and how we're trending in the second part of the season here, I think we're in a good position, a good striking position for what we want to accomplish.
Talking to Javon Shepherd, he's the GM of the Ottawa Blackjacks. You mentioned how important continuity is. And in a league like this, a developmental league, where players are always aspiring to kind of move themselves up, Is it a year-by-year thing with you, or are you trying to impress upon at least some of the players that are on this year's team and interest them in coming back and making Ottawa their, you know, and they, most of them have, you know, regular gigs in the European leagues, etc., where in the summer, when they're looking for somewhere to play, that they think about Ottawa again next year?
Absolutely. That was the biggest thing for us, is just bringing in guys that understood the big picture. And then some veteran experience to just mold and cultivate a culture here. For our guys, we want this to be a family. We want this to be a place where you come back home for the summer, or home away from home, rather, and we can help you develop and continue to grow your own game and your own personal agendas in your life, whatever you aspire to be for, you know, long term. So we have guys that are on board and understand that. And again, we're just learning about our guys, learn more about our guys, and just going to continue to grow with them. And again, like, that's going to be a huge piece, is just being able to retain a number of guys from this team, because there's a lot of potential here. There's a lot of potential, and if you're looking at, you know, a good chunk of our games, they could have gone any way with a 50-50 ball here, an ill-advised turnover, which just would have came from chemistry and knowing guys. So we're able to get that family piece, that cohesiveness on court, and chemistry that comes with time, then I think will be a really good team for a long time. But again, there's so many variables with that, because there's contract situations, there's injuries, there's, and again, it's these guys off, or not off season, but summers from their winter season. So it's going to take some commitment from the guys as well. But I think we have a great group of guys. We have a great staff that understand it and understand the big picture.
I didn't see the final attendance figure for last night's game. I know that in the lead up to it, I think, and you're capped out at 1,000 fans right now under the current pandemic rules. And I know, I think attendance was very good at game one, and sounded like it was close to a sellout again last night. What's been your kind of feel on the response of the fan base to this team that they're finally going to get a chance to watch in person?
I love it. I absolutely love it, and I have to commend the Ottawa community, because they've been so receptive to us. They've been so supportive. And as soon as those doors were open, we hit our capacity. And I think that'll just continue to grow once restrictions are lifted a bit. There's that energy, there's that buzz, and there's that hunger to be a part and see this team and grow with this team. And I think the fact that we've had success at home helps as well. We, you know, put out two good games for the fans that have been there. And that's going to continue to grow that community, that fan base, for us, and I'm excited about that. You know, even just being in the streets and hearing people talk or identify me and just want to talk Blackjack basketball. The biggest thing for me, the most exciting thing for me after game one, when fans were allowed in, was I heard a couple fans say they didn't anticipate the quality of basketball being this high, this good, this caliber. So that was something that sat with me, and I felt good about that, because I think there's a distinction now between, hey, this is not collegiate basketball, this is not amateur basketball, but these are professional players, right? Like, and you're seeing guys that have NBA experience, guys that have G League experience, guys that have European experience, and then all tied in with our youth sport guys as well. So that's huge for basketball, in not just in Ottawa, but in Canada, just continuing to grow the game. But that support has been tremendous, and I just hope to continue to grow it over the next couple of years and going into playoffs this year, leading right into playoffs. Hopefully we can clinch a home court position, but we're looking forward to it.
All right, good stuff. All right, so that's your Blackjacks hat. You can take that one off. Now put on your collar commentator hat, because you've got a role on the CBC Olympic coverage for men's and women's Olympic basketball. Let's start with the women, because we've got the Canadian team as part of that, and they lost their first game a couple of days ago to Serbia. They didn't shoot the ball very well. And this is a team that a lot of people consider to be a medal contender. So just based on one game, is there cause for concern, or what's your feel on it?
Absolutely not. This team, these women are pros. These women have been here before. They're battle tested. This was a bump in the road. That Serbian team was a really well put together team, well-oiled machine, rather. They're coming off a Eurobasket championship, so that confidence is rolling over. This Canadian team had a couple pieces that were added late, but we've seen their ceiling. In that third quarter, they held that Serbian team to 9 points, and I think you're able to identify that, hey, this team's going to have to generate some offense from their defense. They didn't shoot the ball well. I believe it was around 38% over the course of the game. So there's room for a lot of improvement. It was still just a four-point game, despite playing as bad as they did offensively. It's not going to get worse offensively. So you can look at it and say, hey, our worst game is behind us. We've learned. We've watched film. Let's get back to the drawing board. And they have a South Korean team that's coming in, this more than beatable team. And if they come out swinging first, they're going to win.
Is there enough? You talked about the importance of continuity with your Blackjacks team. For the most part, is this national women's team that we have, is this a group that you believe has enough experience playing together that that's not an issue?
Absolutely. They have pieces that have been there, like I mentioned, battle-tested. 2016 Olympics, a couple women have been to three Olympics, rather, the last three. And Coach Lisa Tamaitis herself, she's been a part of this program, and she's cultivated a chemistry with this unit here that these ladies have bought into. And I think that's going to count for something come down the stretch, especially when your back's against the wall, especially when you need to pull out those must-win games, like one coming up against South Korea. That's going to be important. So I do think they have the pieces, and then they have some young pieces that are coming in, fresh legs that can get up and down the court and get some things done for you. I think this team's in a good position to medal. It's just going to come down, like I mentioned before, do you want it? And if you want it, you'll accomplish it.
All right, on the men's side, I don't know what to make of the United States. I know their streak is over, 25 straight. They haven't lost a game since the 2004 games, but they had stumbled in their exhibition games, Javon, and that continued into their opening game at the Olympics as they lost to France by 6 or 7 points. Again, bump in the road for the United States, or is there, because it's gold or bust for them, we know that, is there a genuine cause that this American team may not be able to achieve that gold medal?
I think there's more concern for them because, one, the pressure's on, but there's this notion that FIBA competition is you can just walk through it, or it can be a cakewalk into a medal finish with just a talented team. If we learned anything over the last couple of weeks, one with Canada losing to Czech, U.S. using the struggles that U.S. has had in their friendly games, and then losing their opening game. That tells us it's FIBA competition isn't the best players that are successful. It's the best teams, and just like the U.S. talent individually talent isn't going to offset and win, be the best team in FIBA competition. The rest of the world has gotten better as well. The rest of the world is also not afraid of going up against these big names. In fact, they're excited about it, right? And when you look at that French team that went up against U.S. they play similar styles of basketball, but the difference is they've played together at the junior teams, the junior national teams, for years upon years. I remember I had teammates that were 16, 14, 15, 16, being groomed and playing together and excited about going to their national teams and playing together. So, again, they're going up against those chemistry and cohesiveness that they may not have. They had, three guys, Chris Middleton, Devin Booker, fly in within 24 hours before the French game, which is, it sounds great to have those guys in there, but what does that do for your team? And that, they had a couple of ill-advised turnovers, and you could just see that everybody was a little out of whack. And then the other piece to that is sometimes you look at this team, a lot of these guys, all these guys are the alpha male on their respective professional teams. They come over to this team, and everybody may sacrifice a bit more, try and prove that they're a bit more selfless, pass the basketball more than they need to, which leads to turnovers instead of just playing free. So there's a lot of pressure on them. And again, this is FIBA competition, is a completely different game. So I'm not surprised that we're seeing some of the quote unquote upsets that we're seeing. It comes with the nature of the game, right? It comes with the nature of the game. And it's a completely different brand of basketball that, in fact, the U.S. team has to adjust to, whereas the rest of the world has been playing this for, since they were in Pampers.
So the roster, the American roster, you mentioned it's important that, these guys are all used to being the number one guy on their respective teams, and now they got to come together. And, Kevin Durant is, I guess he's the head of the snake, right? He's still the biggest player on the team. But the makeup of the team, do you believe that there is enough, I'll use the term lack of ego, that that team can come together? Or is it combustible?
I think so. I'm more concerned about the lack of size, in which we're seeing France take advantage of that. And it's not going to get any easier as you go on in the tournament and then you get into quarterfinals, semifinals, and so forth, because those teams get bigger, they get more talented, they understand what they do a lot more. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned about their size. The talent's there. And I think those guys are committed. And the problem is sometimes they may overlook other teams.
Well, listen, I appreciated the U.S. team when they, started initially winning, and it was all those great teams and they won every game by 50 points. I appreciated the magic of watching the star players. But I also appreciate, when we've got a competitive basketball tournament, which it looks like the men's tournament is very much going to be. And listen, we all cheer. If we don't have a rooting interest, there's no Canadian men's team in it. A lot of us cheer for the underdog, right? Look for somebody to knock off the Americans. So that'll be something that I think France has proven it can be done. So that'll give, every other country and every other fan that's looking for somebody to root for, something to watch for in these upcoming games.
Absolutely.
All right. Sounds good. When's your next wake-up call?
You know what? Right now we're on the clock, 24 hours. We're pretty much following the storyline.
Okay.
So it could be in the next 20 minutes. It could be in the next 2 hours. It could be at 4 a.m. again.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we'll be watching. We'll see you as part of the Olympic coverage. Really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right, there he goes. There's Javon Shepherd. He is the general manager of the Ottawa Blackjacks, also part of the Olympic coverage, which you can watch of the men's and women's basketball programs at the Olympic Games. Joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, Gabriel Pizza, the bigger, better pizza. Order online at GabrielPizza.com. We'll take a break. Still to come before 10 o'clock. If you got a code word into us yesterday as part of our Sens Jersey Monday contest, we'll be calling our grand prize winner sometime in the next half hour. So make sure your phone is powered up. And most importantly, your ringer's on. And as well, we got a pair of tickets to give away to Sebastian Maniscalco. Great comedian. Just announced yesterday he's coming to Ottawa. This was a show that was supposed to happen before the pandemic. Here we are, 16, 17 months later. They've just announced it's going to happen. Now, it's not going to be till next March. But tickets are going on sale Friday. We're going to give you a chance to beat the box office here in the next few minutes as well. So stand by for your cue to call to win those Sebastian Maniscalco tickets. As we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Okay, well, it's been a busy morning. Punctuated by the fact that Canada's won 4 medals today at the Olympics, where it's now 10:30 at night and day 4 competition is wrapping up. Or at least I think it is. I had said it was wrapped up as far as the medals were concerned at 8 o'clock this morning, and then we just won a gold in women's weightlifting about an hour or so ago, thanks to Maude Charron, who did a lift of, I think, 131 kilos. That was on the board behind her, so I believe that was the weight that she was able to push up that no one else could. And so she is our latest gold medal winner at the Olympics. That's now 8 medals for Canada. 2 gold, 3 silver, 3 bronze, and I don't need to tell you them, all 8 of them have been won by women. So, time for the guys to get on the board here. Now, some of it is the fact that some of the men's competitions begin after the women's competitions. Our softball team beat Mexico 3-2. I did see out of the corner of my eye, did Japan beat the Americans in the gold medal game? I think they did.
Yes, they did.
Which I think
would that be an upset?
I'm not sure. Japan's a great baseball country.
Absolutely.
As well. But the Americans, I think, traditionally have been, well, I don't know. I it may be one that's very close. But anyway, the Americans, my feel on it is, just watching, I spent the most time watching swimming, is that the Americans have not had as good a swimming competition as they typically do. They are usually one of, if not the dominant country. I can also tell you that the team gymnastics, women's gymnastics, They didn't win the gold this year. Silver. Simone Biles, I think, had to pull out of one of the...
She's injured.
The vault or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that obviously is a... Well, she is the number one name in women's gymnastics. So
Japan shut out the Americans 2-0 to win softball gold.
Yeah. So again.
Not a great Olympics for the old Yanks.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm one of these people that I don't mind telling you that
You love cheering against our neighbors to the south.
Yes, because they're the big brother that we like to kick sand in the face of every once in a while, right? And we don't get the opportunity. So, for instance, when there's a swimming competition, and for some reason the CBC coverage is about 15 seconds ahead of the American coverage. And so I'll watch it, the CBC, and then if the American favorite doesn't win, I'll flip over and watch them, and they're like madly cheering them on.
Just wallowing.
And then that moment of disappointment when they realize
that they
haven't won the gold. Yeah, I hate to be like that, but I'm just one of those guys.
Getting your kicks and giggles out of other people's misery.
If my favorite team can't win at something, then I certainly want everyone else's favorite team not to win either. And in the case of the Americans, that would be that way. So anyway.
That's all right. I'm the same way. I make fun of you, but I'm completely with you as well.
Thank you. Tell you that Canada in women's soccer, where we've won a bronze medal each of the last two Olympics, had a 1-1 tie with Great Britain this morning, final game of group play. So the quarterfinals are now set, and we brought you a live listen in where the announcer kind of went through that Canada was kind of going into the bad side of the draw, as it were. So Canada's going to play Brazil in the quarterfinal, and Brazil is, like in men's soccer and women's soccer, they're really good. The other game in that side of the draw is the U.S. and the Netherlands, and those two teams met in the 2019 Women's World Cup final. They're meeting in the quarterfinal. So even if Canada gets through Brazil, which is tough, then they would have to get through the winner of the Netherlands-U.S. game to get to the gold medal game. So, they got to get through.
How does one side get so jacked up in terms of talent and world rankings, and then the other side, it's just not there with Japan,
Great
Britain.
Sweden is good.
Sweden
is good. Canada, I think, is a better side than Japan. But again, Canada didn't win its game against Japan. They ended up tying. They had the lead.
And today, too.
They had the lead in the game today, and Great Britain tied it in the 84th minute. They win either of those two games, hold the lead for either of those two games. They win the group, and then they're in the other side of the draw.
And today's was just a bad break where the ball was redirected off of a defender's back and back across the net, and there was no hope in heck of stopping that shot.
So Great Britain, Australia, and Sweden and Japan is the other side of the draw in women's soccer. But hey, if they beat Brazil, then they're playing for a medal for sure. Because even if they lose the semi, right, you're still playing in the bronze medal. And we've seen Canada win the bronze, as we said, in the last two. So that brings you up to date on women's soccer and on the Olympics as a whole. A bunch more our time. So all the swimming finals are always in prime time here in the morning over there. So that's kind of nice. So we've got at least, I think, two. I know Penny Oleksiak's in a final tonight. And gapping on her name right now, but individual medley, a woman that seemed to have a chance at medaling as well. So those are two off the top of my head. So there we go. Okay, 9:40, enough of the dancing around. Time to get to some winning. We've got a couple of chances for you to win today, including right now. If you got a code word into us yesterday, at least one, if not two, if not all six, in our Sens Jersey Monday contest, it is time to turn on your phone because we're going to be calling our grand prize winner.
Hello?
Hi, I'm looking for Colleen, please.
Speaking.
Colleen, JR calling from TSN 1200. How are you?
Oh, good. And yourself?
Oh, I'm just great. Thank you. Just calling to check in, see that you're doing well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very well.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Any other reason I'd be calling?
Don't tell me. Did I win the shirt?
You did!
Finally!
Finally! I take it this was not the first time you entered.
Not the first.
So how many weeks have you been in pretty much every week?
Oh, yeah, pretty much every week. And sometimes I don't always get six, but I'm usually three, four.
You know what?
Entries.
You make everyone who also is like you and puts in three or four or five or even all six code words very happy, because I hear from a lot of people when we ask people, it's like, how many Emmy code words? Well, just the one. Just got the one in. We end up drawing their name. So that's just the way it works and the luck of the draw, as it were. But today, your name came up. So congratulations, Colleen Foti, our latest winner. You have won your very own customized Sens Black Home Adidas jersey. First of all, are you a fan of the new jersey that came out last year?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's the most important part. And secondly, now that you've won one, you may have thought about it as you're putting in the code words. How do you think you'd like to customize it up?
For the number and all that.
Yeah.
I still haven't come to a final decision, but I know probably 18.
18 for Timmy.
Yeah, and my daughter's birthday.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So now you can buy her tickets and she can go for her birthday. Yes, and she can have the 18 jersey on. That sounds like a good idea. But again, no pressure. You make the decision on your own timelines as to how you want to do it up. But we know that one is coming your way. So congratulations, Colleen.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are welcome. And we'll do it again coming up. Well, actually, next week, next Monday's a holiday, right? So I guess Jersey Monday will go on hiatus for a week and be back the week after. And I believe the powers that be have deemed that in the month of August, at least, we're going to be moving to Red Blacks jerseys because the Red Black season will be
underway. I'm digging that.
Yeah, and then we'll be moving back to the Sens when the Sens come back. So
I think that's a jersey I need to add to my collection.
A Red Blacks jersey. Yeah.
But I'm not a jersey wearer, but I just like when I open up my closet that I've got
you
the
like
local teams
them?
On there. Yeah, I like to look at them.
Yeah.
And just admire and know for a fact that there's no way I'm wearing these outside.
Okay.
Or even indoors.
Because you're kind of that guy.
I just like to see them, though.
Yeah. I was just doing, a little bit of research on Maude Charron, who just won the gold medal in women's weightlifting. And not that social media is any indication of anything. But if you had to guess, and again, doesn't look like Maude's very active on Twitter.
Okay.
There's not a lot of posts from her over the years. But
first,
she has,
can I say I love the name Maude
and
that there's not enough Maudes anymore?
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of an old school name that's kind of back in again.
Big time.
If you had to guess, and she's probably on the gram and probably on TikTok and whatever. Okay. Twitter's for.
Okay. Where are we getting to with this?
Right. How many followers do you think that Maude Charron has who just won a gold medal for Canada at the Olympics?
Well, the way you've been laying it out. Yeah. I'm thinking teens here.
Well, no, it's not that bad.
Okay,
it's not,
57.
No, 187.
187.
You get followed by 187 people, which is, you know, again, it's reflective of nothing other than it's kind of just goes
well, let's
to
get
show
her
you
some followers for crying out loud.
How well she doesn't post, so you could follow
it
her.
Doesn't
but she
matter. It's
see
just
it.
Reputation. Let's get that number up.
But it speaks to my point that how many of our Olympic athletes toil in obscurity, right?
Be it absolutely
personal obscurity, right? They're doing their own thing, and here they are representing our country, in Maude's case, winning a gold medal, and and really just not getting a whole lot of action on social media at all.
I have a feeling she won't have a problem right now. She's been getting retweeted by Team Canada, by CBC, by Olympics for her gold medal. I think she's going to be getting out there now. Hopefully, maybe she'll get a little more active on social media.
Yeah.
Hopefully take that gold medal. I guess you can't really go out about town in Japan right now. So really, I guess just right back to your room.
Yeah.
Just show it off.
She is a proud resident of Rimouski, Quebec, by the way, of course, where Sidney Crosby played junior hockey and Vincent Lecavalier. So there you go. All right. She's the next most famous person, or maybe she's now the most famous person.
Fellow gold medalist Sidney Crosby.
Yes, that's right. There you go.
The Cavalier, was he ever on a gold medal hockey team?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Did the World Cup in September there.
Well, he won the Stanley Cup as well.
Well, yeah, that's not a gold medal, though. Stanley Cup, that's all great and enjoy that. But now we're talking about gold medals here.
All right, 9:46. Let's take a break, a final break, and then we'll take you up to the top of the hour. That's when Steve Lloyd and Graham Creech will take over within the box. Still to come. Chance for you to beat the box office for Sebastian Maniscalco tickets. So stand by if you're cue to call on that. And we'll kind of get you caught up on everything other than the Olympics, including another big day in hockey. Buyout window closes today at 5 o'clock. We had the qualifying offers yesterday. A couple of interesting names that didn't end up getting qualified by their teams. And, of course, a look ahead to free agency coming up tomorrow. Noon tomorrow. Not July 1st this year. July the 28th at noon is the day to kick off free agency, so that'll happen tomorrow. So we'll delve into a little bit of that, and maybe revisit the Aaron Rodgers story as well, we touched on earlier this morning, and his decision, it looks like, to report to the Packers training camp and maybe play one final season in Green Bay. So that's all still to come right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Congrats to Caleb Smith, our first of what will be five winners this week in our Sebastian Maniscalco Beat the Box Office tickets for the show coming up in March of 2022. It's a ways off, but tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.ca. So, Caleb, you've got a pair of tickets. Enjoy the show, and we'll do it again a couple of times one day this week because we got four more pairs of tickets, and then the other day. So one each on two of the days, and then when the mood strikes, two times. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday. We kind of just, we'll see how it goes.
What are you doing? Play? It really just depends on if you remember or not. That's what happens.
My memory.
Will I remember to give away the second pair of tickets? I really have tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. So, good listener, I'm going to put money on Friday. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets on Friday. Be ready for that.
That's a lot of lip for the guy that's supposed to be helping me remember these sorts of things, whose memory is also not quite what it used to be.
That's not a good combo. Yeah. You know, it's not a good combo when you have two people with really bad memories trying to remind each other of such important things.
I think it's the brain fog due to the constant fatigue from getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what I'm blaming it on.
Anyway. I'm going with it, too. If you can use it, yeah. I can use it.
Okay, let's get some of the texts that have come in. Got a pile of those and haven't got to many this morning. Morning crew, truly enjoy having Dave Poulin on the show. Insightful, knowledgeable. Keep bringing him back, please. Enjoy the show. That's from the Milkman. Well, Dave will be with us through the end of this week, and that will be, and typically, Pierre McGuire, when he did that segment for 20 years, we do give them a couple of months hiatus to go recharge the batteries and go into an off season. So. Dave will be with us the rest of this week, and we'll figure out how when hockey reconvenes toward the end of September, what we're going to do in that 8 o'clock time slot. But I, too, very much enjoyed Dave Poulin. I've always enjoyed Dave whenever I've seen him interviewed, and since he's become a regular member of TSN, I just like him. Well, there's a bunch of different reasons, but his experience, he comes at it from all sides, right? He was a player. He was a captain on a really good hockey team. He was a coach at the NCAA level, so he has done, you know, he can talk very knowledgeably about college hockey and about recruiting and that sort of stuff. And, of course, he was an assistant general manager in the National Hockey League, and now he's been a broadcaster for, what, 6, 7 years, something like that. And he's done games, so he's done everything from being at the desk and also in the rink. So he kind of can come at you with knowledge from many different angles. So that's kind of the reason why I like Dave.
And I was really ticked off because we used to have Dave on. He used to come on maybe once every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks on the 9:10 slot. And then you handed him over to the afternoon show. You handed him over to the Drive.
Good guy.
And
like that.
Well, that's glad. Good for the Drive. Bad for us. But nice to have him back. Definitely.
Regarding the Eugene Melnick's comments about Brady Tkachuk not being the captain if it's only on a bridge deal, and Dave Poulin referring to that and saying, why would you say that? Dear Dave Poulin, welcome to the bizarre world that is the Ottawa Senators. That comes from unsigned this morning.
Yeah. He's not new to it, but maybe on a daily basis, constant reminders of some of the choices, decisions made.
Someone else texted in and said, regarding that comment by the owner, isn't that negotiating via the media, talking about, well, if you're going to only do a bridge deal, that you're not going to be the captain.
They don't do that.
Pierre Dorion, the general manager, has said, and he's been consistent on that. When asked about where contracts are at, he says, and he goes to the same card every time. Don't negotiate through the media, and he's been pretty consistent on that, so I'll give him credit through that, at least publicly. The owner, though, is not singing,
different person.
Not singing from the same hymn book on that. He kind of says he doesn't speak that often, but when he does, he usually says something, and something that sometimes is counter to what his
and something,
general manager is saying.
Yeah, and something that usually comes up weeks, months, years after the fact, just because it's controversial.
Hey, guys, does Ottawa take a look at Pius Suter since the Blackhawks didn't qualify him? Interesting about Pius Suter, 14 goals last year for the Blackhawks, is that he was actually at Sens camp on a tryout, I think in Guy Boucher's first year, because he's Swiss, and Guy Boucher had coached either, coached him, or he was on another team. I don't remember what it was, but he was familiar with him, and so they brought him over for a tryout. I don't think they didn't offer him a contract, and he went back to Switzerland, and he's come back to the NHL and has been with the Hawks the last couple of years, and as I said, had a good year this year. I don't know why they didn't qualify him. It could be a money issue where he maybe was going to get money that was, he just gave $9.5 million to Seth Jones.
Exactly.
So, they're already paying $10.5 million each to Toews and Kane still. So it could be a money issue, and they still got, some things they've got to pull together in Chicago. So I'm not exactly quite sure why, but 14 goals is pretty good. So I don't know. I can't speak knowledgeably of the player. I don't know. I don't know that he, if they're looking at filling a number one or number two center position, I don't know that he's the guy for that.
No, exactly. And they've got enough, if you're looking bottom six, they've got enough bottom six guys already, so he doesn't really seem to fit in there. I think the only spot that the Sens try to make a move, of course, is the blue line, and then somebody that can play in the top six. You're not going to bring somebody in to play in the bottom six.
Free agency begins at noon tomorrow from JD. Free agency is a time to be cautious. Most teams get into long-term trouble on free agency day. Stay the course. That's from JD. And I would be an advocate of that as well. I've been pretty consistent on this, that I think as far as the Ottawa Senators are concerned, if, as the owner suggests, they need to get a defenseman and a frontline forward, at least for the forward, I would do it via the trade route, and I'd be doing it for somebody who doesn't have much term left on his contract. 1 or 2 years at most. Chances are you're not going to have to give up the farm for whomever it may be. And we've seen tons of names mentioned, right? Ryan Strome's name's been mentioned more than a few times in relation to Ottawa and them being in the mix for Ryan Strome. He's only got a year left in his contract, so he's not going to cost you a first-round draft pick next year. And Ottawa's got 11 picks, so they have the draft capital if they want to make it happen. But the thing is, Strome comes in, he keeps the forward progress with the team. He's a decent player. He's had two good, his last 2 years have been his best 2 years. So from that perspective, that's good. But then at the end of the year, you don't have any commitment. If he has a lights out year again, then maybe you revisit it with him. But if he doesn't, and Shane Pinto is ready to go, then boom, you slide Pinto in, who's still on his rookie deal. Because the money is starting to going to have to go out the door here shortly for the Shabbat already, the Kachucks of the world, Norris after next year, Batherson this summer, right? All of these players that you've invested the time and the development time and the draft pick resources are now, and they're paying off in terms of how they're performing, you're going to have to pay them. And you want to try to keep as much flexibility in your salary cap as possible. The worst thing to do is to tie yourself down on long-term contracts to free agents who are usually older and who don't end up being any better than the players that are bubbling up underneath in the shorter term, even more so than the longer term.
And if he's having a lights-out year as well, and maybe things haven't gone to what the Senators have expected in terms of positioning themselves for fighting for a playoff spot. Hey, a little tool during the trade deadline as well to try and maybe find a younger piece to slide in with the team.
I'd be more of a fan if they are going to go the free agency route for a defenseman, a right shot defenseman, like one of those kind of 4x4, 3x4 kind of guys, of which there's still a handful left. I don't know who exactly the right guy is. I thought Adam Larson might have been that guy, but he's obviously signed by now. But I'd be more of a fan of them doing that if they're going to do something. But we'll find out tomorrow. If I had to guess, I don't think they're going to do much of anything, at least in the short term. But noon tomorrow, free agency opens. Lots of hockey talk throughout the rest of the day, though, today, including on In the Box. Coming up next, the drive this afternoon.